O loving God, calm now our busy minds and open our hearts that your word might take root and grow. Speak through me, O Lord, and if necessary, in spite of me. In Christ's holy name I pray. Amen. Well, once again, I bring greetings to you from the district office. Our district superintendent, Randy Innes, said to please give you his regards. It was good to see those of you who made it to Charge Conference this year. It was good to be with you. And I am a United Methodist minister myself. I've served about four different churches over the past 11 or 12 years. And when the bishop called about a year and a half ago and said, I have a new appointment for you, I wasn't quite sure I wanted to do this appointment. And there are things I miss about the local church. And one of the things I miss about the local church is, I tell you what, this is where the mission and ministry is happening. And it's been one of the most exciting things to me as I've gone out in the district and gotten to meet the churches and see what's going on. And we hear so much about the church dying. And I'm here to tell you that in places like this, I see it over and over again. God is alive, the people are alive, and ministry is happening. So thank you for that. Part of the joy that I have had in this new position is what I just shared with you, and it's been for me an opportunity to get to know and understand the connection in a way that I never have before. So you may have seen the title of the sermon in your bulletin this morning and thought, oh my, is it too late to leave? The connection, the United Methodist Church connection. But I want to talk with you a little bit about that this morning because I think it's so important to who we are. And as clergy, the pastors, we get exposed to it fairly often. We go to annual conference and we go to clergy meetings throughout the year and we have all these forms that remind us that we're part of something bigger. And for those of you who go to annual conference, certainly, and even when you go to charge conference, or if you participate in some of the educational events, you may have some sense, too, that we as a Methodist people are a part of something bigger than a local church on the corner. Unlike our Baptist and Presbyterian and Pentecostal brothers and sisters, our church is a global church, and we are connected. And for the most part, the people in the pews, when you start talking about connection, their one familiarity with that is apportionments. And that doesn't bring a real warm, fuzzy feeling, I know. We're going to talk about that more in a little bit. But I want to share some things with you this morning you may not realize. Do you realize that in our district alone, in the Heritage District, we have 108 United Methodist churches that span 10 counties? So Randy and I, as much as we like being with you folks, find ourselves spread a little thin as we try to reach out. I think Randy did manage to visit 101 out of 108 churches from the period of mid-July to mid-September. And beyond our district, in the North Carolina Conference, which runs from Burlington to the Outer Banks, we have 808 churches. And then if you include the Western North Carolina Conference, so all of North Carolina, we have close to 2,000 United Methodist churches. So you are part of that in North Carolina. You are also part of 7.3 million United Methodists who live in the United States. Worldwide, there's another 5.5 million United Methodists. So together, we are a part of a church that is about 13 million strong. Now, it's hard to keep that body together and connected, and so we do certain things to make that happen. One is General Conference that's coming up this May, where delegates, clergy, and lay from all over the world will meet together to talk about the policies and procedures and rulings of the United Methodist Church. In between those 4 years, our bishops get together, some of our lay leaders get together, we have annual conferences, but the biggest way that we do stay connected is through our apportionments. Every church throughout the Methodist connection contributes to apportionments. Now, apportionments, there's a lot of confusion about how they're calculated, and the simplest way to say it is they're based on how much you spend on yourself versus how much you spend in the world and in ministry. So if we have a church that spends a whole lot on themselves and not so much in the world and ministry, their apportionments are going to be a little bit higher, and vice versa. It's a way that we ensure that our local churches are not existing just for themselves. And so while I'm here this morning, I want to say thank you to you all. Because year after year, you've paid 100% of your apportionments. And I want to share with you a little bit this morning what that has done. I want to say to you, glory be. Glory be that together we are going out into this world that Jesus said, go out into the world and make disciples of Jesus Christ. And together we are in the world, glory be, transforming the world, the love of God through Jesus Christ. Glory be that through your apportionments and what you pay to the conference, we have UMCOR. Y'all familiar? Anybody here familiar with UMCOR? United Methodist Committee on Relief. With the exception of the Red Cross, it is the only relief organization, that and the Red Cross, that have permission to go into any country right after a major disaster. So they're the first ones often on the ground. They don't have to be approved. That's because of your apportionments. Glory be that because of your apportionments, we have an infrastructure in place that when we have special ministries and missions that we want to give to, like Imagine No Malaria, and I know some of y'all have been giving to that, when we have hurricanes and disasters locally or abroad, 100% of what we give can go straight to those missions and ministries because your apportionments have paid for the infrastructure to already be in place. Glory be that for you, because of you and your commitment and your desire to pay your apportionments, we have new church starts that are funded by your apportionment dollars. Glory be that because of you, because you are in ministry together with the world, we have events like Pilgrimage where 5,000 youth can come together and experience God in a way they may not have ever done so before. Glory be that because you pay your apportionments and you are a part of the connection, our retired clergy have some salary once they retire. Glory be that here in this place, in Kittrell, North Carolina, you provide funds that take university education to the most remote and poorest areas of Africa. Glory be that because of you, in your gifts, we have not one, but three camps for our young people. Anybody here sent a child or been to Camp Don Lee, Camp Rockfish, or Camp Chestnut Hill? Yes, ma'am. I've got four boys. All of my boys have been a part of it. Because of what you do, because of the connection, because of your generosity, we have campus ministries that are touching the lives of our college young people. Because of your gifts, glory be, all of us in the connection can call the media center. And if y'all don't know about the media center, ask Carolyn. They're at the conference office. And you can check out Bible study resources. You can check out books and videos. You could also call the conference and get coaching. You can get consultation if you have new ministries that you want to be involved in. Because of your giving, we have grants available for churches that want to go out in the community and do new and exciting ministries. So glory be for your gifts. Glory be that together we are the body of Christ going out into the world and transforming lives. And so I thank you. You know, Paul said we are all part of the body of Christ, and the feet cannot say to the head, I have no need for you, and the hands cannot say to the eyes, I have no need for you. We need each other. And like different parts of our body, sometimes we don't know what's going on at the other side. My brother used to say, your left hand doesn't know what your right hand's doing, and there's truth to that. But we know that we all have to come together, we all have to do what we're called to do in order for the body of Christ be at work in the world. And I'll be honest with you and confess that when I was a pastor, there were times that I wished we were independent. I wished I didn't have to go to all these pastor meetings. I wished we didn't have to pay apportionments, that we could just save the money and use it for what we wanted. But I have come to understand I've come to understand that that's a really self-centered and short-sighted view. Because I've come to understand that we are truly connected, whether we realize it or not. So I want to share with you this morning an African parable. The story goes that a little mouse living in the walls of a farmhouse out in the country in Africa was looking through his little hole one day when he saw the farmer's wife get a new package in the mail. And the little mouse was tickled because he was wondering what pieces of food and crumbs might be in there. But he was really disappointed when the farmer's wife pulled out a giant mouse trap. And so the mouse went running out of the house into the farmyard, and he ran up to the chicken yelling, "There's a mouse trap in the house, there's a mouse trap in the house." And the chicken said, "I can't be bothered with you, I got stuff to do," and it clucked on. Well, the mouse kept running, "There's a mouse trap in the house. Help, there's a mouse trap in the house." And he came up upon the pig. And the pig said, "Now, Mr. Mouse, I understand you're concerned about the mouse trap. And there's nothing I can do except pray. But rest assured, I will hold you in my prayers." So the little mouse ran on and a little bit came up to the cow. "There's a mouse trap in the house. There's a mouse trap. Help me, help me." And the cow just kind of mooed and said, "Mr. Mouse, this is no skin off my nose. I'm sure you'll be fine." So that night, in the middle of the night, the mouse trap snapped. And the mouse ran out to see what had happened. Well, during the night, when the mouse trap went off, the farmer's wife got up to check the trap. And she didn't realize that the trap had caught the tail of a poisonous snake. And so as she reached down, the snake bit her. Well, she was rushed to the hospital. And after being there a few days, the doctor said, "There's nothing else we can do." And she was sent home with a fever. Well, you know, when someone has a fever, the best thing you can do for them is fresh chicken soup. So the farmer took his hatchet outside, and that night for dinner they had fresh chicken soup. Well, the wife did not get better. And family came to sit with her and help take care of her, and they had to feed the family. And so next to go was the pig. Well, I'm sad to say that in a few days, the wife died. And friends came from all around. And to feed the crowd that gathered, they had to butcher that cow. We're all connected. We're all connected. And what threatens one of us threatens all of us. And Paul said it. When one hurts, we all hurt. It's what it means to be the body of Christ. And it also works in positive ways. And so when we come together and we give of our resources, our prayers, our service, we bring that together with people all over the world. Ministry happens in ways that we cannot even imagine. I'll give you an example of this, just with our Imagine No Malaria campaign. I've been here 44 minutes, and last 44, since I arrived here, the service started, 44 children have died. 2 years ago, 88 children would have died. It's been cut in half. And we're still working. But in the North Carolina Conference alone, we have raised, we're hoping by January 1st we'll hit the $1 million mark. The last I heard it was $850,000 we had raised. Folks, that's 85,000 children that you helped save. What you do in this place matters. When you come together and reach out in your community with love and grace and forgiveness, it matters. And when you don't, it matters. When you come together and pray for those in your church family, in your community, maybe across the state, maybe across the world, it matters. And when you don't do it, it matters. When you gather with other local churches, you gather your youth so that they can come together and have an experience of God that is life-changing, that matters. And it matters if you don't do it. When you do as the vows you took in your baptismal said and stand up against injustice in whatever forms it present itself, it matters. And it matters when you don't. So if you ever hear someone in this place, in this community, say to you, "Oh, y'all just a little church. You can't do much." You tell them no. What you do in this place matters. We are the body of Christ, engaged in transforming the world in the name of God through Jesus Christ. And that is why we're here, isn't it? Paul says, you are the body of Christ. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.